I was thinking during all that music that we just did that the whole focus was about some shepherds being told about the birth of a Messiah in a town that they were tending sheep just in the outskirts of this little town in Bethlehem, Judea. A little place, not even recognized by the rest of the clans, but in Bethlehem, the Savior of the world was born. Not exactly the regalia that you would expect the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to be born in, would you? And yet, it wasn't the palaces of the rich that he longed for. It was the impoverishedness of every heart that did not have a relationship with his Father. That's why he came. We celebrate his birth. And though we have the many trappings of the holidays around us, these are not what we focus on. Instead, we focus on the beginning of rejoicing. The title of today's message is Rejoicing's Birth. And I know that you've already done a lot of reading this morning, but we're going to do a little bit more. So if you would please join me out of Luke chapter 2, verses 7 to 20. Join me in this prayer, if you would, or these scriptures. What was that all about? I guess it was a shortcut. Luke chapter 2, verses 7 to 20. Read with me, please. Mary gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. And seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. So, Mary has her first child. She wraps him snugly in strips of cloth, and she lays him in a manger. And then the story goes, that it starts talking about these shepherds who were just out in their fields. And what were they doing? They were just keeping watch over their flocks by night. Now, sheep were an important commodity in the realm of Jewishness, because you had to have a sheep every now and then to slaughter as a sacrifice for your sins. And so these shepherds were out in the field and they were guarding this precious commodity, precious to everybody. And yet these shepherds, even though they were guarding this very precious commodity, they were not people that the rest of the people looked up to. In fact, if you remember the story of the prophet Samuel, after Saul had ruled and reigned in such an ungodly way, God finally raises up his man, who he wants. And he sends Samuel to Jesse's house. Jesse was a very blessed man because he had many sons. And as Samuel came to the door and said, "I am here to find the king for Israel." And Jesse said, "Oh, well, then you'll need to look at my oldest son. I'm so proud of him. He's my firstborn, you know." And so they brought Jesse's firstborn son in. And Samuel looked at him. And the Spirit of God inside of Samuel said, "No, this is not the one. Do you have other sons? Or do you have another son?" And Jesse said, "Well, yes, the Lord has blessed me mightily, and I have many sons, and let me get the next one for you." Can you imagine the rejection the firstborn is having right now? I mean, he normally would have been the one who would inherit every blessing from his father. And yet, the priest of God is saying, "No, you're not quite good enough." And this happens all throughout Jesse's sons. This happens a number of times that they are rejected. And it finally gets down to the end and Samuel says, "Do you not have any more sons?" And he says, "Well, yeah, I've got one, David, my youngest. And, well, he's not a very important son. He's just out taking care of the sheep." And Samuel says, "Okay, I'll wait." And Jesse goes, "What? Fine, one of you sons, go out and find David and bring him in and take care of his job out there, will you?" And so Samuel waits, and David comes. You see, shepherds were not highly regarded in the realm of Israel, but they were a necessary job. You sometimes feel like you've got a job that isn't really necessary, that you don't get a lot of worth from what you've done. And yet, out there in those fields as a shepherd, David prepared his heart. He prepared himself. He wrote songs to the Lord while he was out there. I mean, I long to have that dark sky that David sat under at nighttime, as he saw all the brilliance of all the stars and he just imagined his God who created all things. And he would write these love songs out to him. But he also wrote songs when he was down and discouraged and life didn't feel so good. In fact, David was even hired as a musician to kind of soothe the heart of Saul, who would have very rough times in ruling his kingdom because he tried to rule it not with the heart of God, but with the heart of a man who was in high regard by men when he was first put in office, but not held in such high regard anymore. Because many were the opposition to the Israelites. And though Saul had led out armies and they'd had victories, when David was anointed by Samuel and brought on as the anointed king of Israel, he was brought in and he helped to lead the armies of Israel against even more enemies. And Saul became jealous because the people started singing in the streets, "Saul has killed his thousands, but David his tens of thousands." You see, though shepherds were not highly regarded, and you may not feel like you are highly regarded by people, what matters is being highly regarded by God. And having that right relationship with Him. You see, David didn't get his value and his worth out of the work he was doing. He just did that which God and his father, his earthly father, had called him to do, and he did it as unto the Lord. And in fact, the Lord empowered him, because sheep are a defenseless animal. I mean, are any of you intimidated by a sheep? Yes, Daniel. We'll need to take you to a sheep farm sometime then. Because they are like the docilest, you know, animal, you know, other than my Gracie. Sheep are just stupid little animals, and they need shepherds, you know, because otherwise, if they were walking along and one of them went over the cliff, do you think the second one would stop and go, "Well, I'm not going over that. Man, that was really a nasty fall, George." No, instead the second sheep would follow right after him going, "Hey, George, where are you?" And the third sheep would do the same. They are stupid. That's why the shepherds have those crooks to be able to pull them up when they fell over. They were also very fearful animals because they would not go to moving water. That's why the 23rd Psalm, the things that God had trained David up to see and to acknowledge, "Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in wanting." And you see, a good shepherd, his sheep are well taken care of. Why? Well, because they were a commodity that were precious to people. And they could get, you know, I mean, if you're going to buy a sheep for your sins, do you want the little scrawny one that looks sickly? Or do you want the one that looks really healthy and fat because great have been your sins? I, for one, would choose the big fat sheep. You know? I'm glad for you who think that it's okay to just pick out the sickly small one. You know, that your sins are not as great as mine. You know? I worship, you know, your walk. But I am a man who stumbles and falls just like the rest of you. And so put those rocks down when we look at each other. Rejoicing began as the angel of the Lord came upon the shepherds out in their fields watching their sheep. The angel appears, and are the shepherds rejoicing at that time? No. No, what are they doing? Who are you and what do you want with us? And then the glory of the Lord shone around them. Can you imagine what that must have looked like out in a field that was so dark? All of a sudden a great light appears and it's all around you. And then you hear these wonderful words from this messenger from heaven. Do not be afraid. Easy for you to say, big fella. You're not looking from down here. Do not be afraid. For a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, the one that you have been looking forward to, that all of Israel has been looking forward to. For 400 years there have been silence from God, but now it is broken. A Messiah has come. Your Lord, your Savior. Oh, where is this big brute? No. You'll find him in a manger. What? He's supposed to be the king of Israel. What's he doing in a barn with barnyard animals? No, you don't understand. He came as a child, a baby, and he's wrapped in strips of cloth. Go look at him. And just like sheep, you won't be intimidated by him. Instead, you will come and you will worship him. Wow. That's some good news, big fella. Yeah? Let me blow you away with this act. The armies of heaven. Can you imagine? Shepherds out in a dark field, keeping watch over there. The only thing that they had was maybe a torch. Now they got the vast armies of heaven. And they appear. And what do? They start singing. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace and goodwill to mankind. Wow. What a concert to be under, right?
You got your concert ticket?
No, dude. I was sleeping. It was your turn to watch the sheep. Can you imagine the glory of it all? And then as quickly as they appeared, they disappear. And the shepherds are out there in their field going, wow, what did we just hear? What did we just witness? What should we do about this?
I don't know about you, but hey, I'm going to go to Bethlehem. I'm going to see if this thing that they just, is that real?
Let's go find out. And so they go to Bethlehem. They go to the manger. They go to where the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is laying there. And can you imagine what they must have been feeling? Can you think of what their worth might have been like at that point in time? Though the world did not regard them well, God and His messengers regarded them greatly. You see, these were not learned men. These were not men who would scrabble over the scriptures and say, well, you know, is this really the way it's all supposed to go down? No, these men accepted by faith what the messengers of God had revealed to them. And they go to investigate for themselves. And they see this child. They see Mary and Joseph. And they are overjoyed in their reactions. And can you imagine telling the story? Because honestly, that's what happens when the glory of God is revealed to you. And the glory of God is His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. He was revealed to these shepherds, and He's been revealed to you. That's why this morning I can say to each and every one of you here, you have been chosen by God. Maybe you need to hear that again. Because you are special. You have been chosen by God to hear from Him, to seek your worth from what He says about you. Believe in my Son, Jesus, and you will be saved. These shepherds retell to Mary and Joseph what has just happened out in the field. And the Bible says in this passage that we read from Luke, it says, and the people were astonished at what they heard. Now, think of yourself as a shepherd sitting out in a dark field. All of a sudden, this angel comes and announces, hey, don't be afraid. Unto you a child is born. What? We're just tending our sheep. What do you mean? What are you talking about? A child's born to us. I didn't do it. No, a child is born and he's the Messiah. He's the long-awaited Savior of the world. Go see him. You guys? Us? Yeah, you. Go see him. And then having an angel choir appear. I mean, these guys had to be just buzzing as they're going to Bethlehem. And anybody and everybody that they might have come in contact as they're going along the way. Man, you should have seen what we did. You see that out there? Did you hear that choir of angels? And everybody's going, what are you guys talking about? Right? But all the people heard what the shepherds, because that's what happens when you come in contact with God. You are given a testimony about what he has done and how he has been revealed to you. And to each and every one of us, it's going to come in a different way. But when the presence of God comes in your life, you won't stop talking about it. You can't stop talking about it. And if you do stop talking about it, guess what? You're hurting the one who came to save you. That's why we need to bear testimony. In fact, that's what in the Revelation study that we're doing on Wednesday night, there's two things by which the saints help to overcome the mark of the beast and all the tribulation that's coming on. How do they overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You see, we've got to be fired up like these shepherds had to have been fired up that day. We've got to tell people about what Jesus has done for us. Jesus Christ has been born in my life. It's rejoicing's birth. The birth of my rejoicing in my life, because God, maybe people around me have not valued me, but God has valued me enough to explain about the birth of his Son for me and his death and his resurrection. To me, those truths have been revealed and I can't stop talking about him because he has promised me everlasting life. Life that goes beyond what I'm experiencing here in this world. And some of you are going, oh, praise God for that. Because what I'm experiencing here in this world, wow, it's tough. It's tough. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, rejoicing's birth comes to you. Where else would a lamb be born but in a manger? Where else would you expect to find him? Who else to tell besides those who tend sheep? Your Savior's been born. Go see him. And they do, and the people that they come in contact, they're going, what? You guys are just dumb shepherds. You take care of dumb sheep. You don't have any social status with us. But they heard what they were saying. But more importantly, and in the story it says, Mary hears the shepherd's story, and what does she do? She treasures their words in her heart. You see, it's a confirmation for Mary. Mary has struggled with this whole idea of, wow, Emmanuel, God is being birthed through me, his mother? I'm just as innocent and just as regular as everybody else. Why me, Lord? Thank you that from now on, I'm going to be known as a blessed woman because I have given birth to your son. You have found me in your favor. And so these shepherds coming and saying all the things that they have seen only confirms for Mary and for Joseph as well. Joseph, you made the right decision. Joseph, this is the Son of God. And look, I've even brought these unlearned shepherds in to tell you the message. A new age has begun. Rejoicing's birth is here. Because the ways of the law and the traditions that you have been laboring underneath are now all gone through this new way of love and grace. The Father has sent His Son. That He might experience everything that you and I experience. And you go, oh, no, I reject that. He hasn't experienced everything. Yes, He did. Accept it as truth. Stop fighting it. He has gone through every experience we have. And besides that, if He hasn't gone through it, God knows the experiences. Amen? Because God's much wiser than we are. And so God knows exactly where you're at, what you're dealing with, and He will pull you through it if you will rely upon Him to be your strength, your guide. But the Father sent this young baby as a beginning, that the birth of a new age and a new era would be given to all mankind, that you no longer had to prove that you were from any kind of a tribe in Israel. Instead, what you had to prove to God and to others is that you are a believer in His Son, Jesus Christ. Give God the greatest gift that you could ever give Him this Christmas. Give Him your heart. Without question. Without holding back. Without, just finally surrender and give it to Him. Regardless of what situations tell you. Regardless of what people think about you or say to you. God sees you. And God has chosen you this day to hear the message of His Son, Jesus Christ. Come in the flesh, but raised in spiritual strength that one day you and I will experience in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says. We'll all be transformed. We will know then as we are known now. Everything will be revealed. Oh, but I've got way so many questions. You know what? Then hammer out those questions with God. But stop holding back and give the gift of your heart to God. Will you do that today? Give it like you've never given it before. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank You that You don't look at what station of life that we're at. You don't look at our bank accounts and go, well, I'll touch that one because they're rich. Or, Lord, You look at us all evenly. It's level playing ground at the cross of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And You say, I accept all who will surrender
all to me and have faith in my Son. Lord, we are coming before you this morning, and we're praying that rejoice will birth in us anew a testimony of what Jesus Christ, your Son, has done and how he has changed my life. Lord, this Christmas season, I want to give you my heart like I've never given it to you before. Lord, you designed this life in the first place. It wasn't mine to live. It's mine to live for you. May I live in that fashion. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Bless those, Lord God, who have been truthful with you. Bless them with the power and the strength to uphold the decisions that they have made for you today. And may we, their brothers and sisters, know it by the fruit of their lives and by the testimony of their lips. Be glorified this season, Lord, by our testimony of you, Jesus Christ. And everybody said,